Love that. It is chasing after us. The goodness of God is chasing after us. And I want you to keep that in mind as we go through this scripture today. This scripture really speaks to me each time I read it. And I get the privilege of preaching this. So 2 Kings, turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. And just as we were singing that song, I wanted to take a picture of a couple of the slides of the first song that we sang. And again, just the idea of that today. I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. He hasn't failed yet. He's not going to fail now. He's not going to fail now. You won't fail me now. In the waiting. So that's the difficult part, is in the waiting. From the time I believe he's going to come to the time he actually does work in my situation. It's that waiting time. And that's the difficulty. And again, this passage here today, we're going to look at that. In the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. And just talking about, can I praise God in the valley, in the difficult times of my life? Okay, can we trust God? Can trust His Word? Wow. So anyway, in 2 Kings, God sometimes uses bad experiences for our good. Sometimes we go through bad situations in our lives, and sometimes, like I said, sometimes we like to bail, and just like we bail on God before we see what God wants to do with these terrible circumstances that we're faced with. Because let me tell you what, our God can redeem bad circumstances, and not only redeem them, but He can just do something mightily in those that all of a sudden we see God revealing Himself that we never would have saw if we weren't in that bad situation. So sometimes we go through some bad times for God to show Himself to us. And it's just amazing when He does show us. So sometimes it's a good thing to go through bad times because we see God in a greater and deeper way than we've ever saw Him before. So let's look at 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1-7. It says this, "The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves.' Elisha replied to her, 'How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?' 'Your servant has nothing there at all,' she said, 'except a little oil.' Elisha said, 'Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side.' She left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, 'Bring me another one.' But he replied, 'There is not a jar left.' Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left.'" You know what? Let's just have a word of prayer. Lord God, I just thank you for this passage of Scripture. God, as I was studying this week, God, it encouraged me. It uplifted me. And no matter what situations we go through, again, we see that you are completely in charge. And God, we may be in a dark valley, we may be in a difficult situation like this woman who didn't have any money, her husband was dead, and her sons were going to be sold into slaves, but God, you came through. And God, I just pray that you would just, again, show yourself to us today in a mighty and powerful way. Help us to see you more clearly. As you revealed yourself to the widow, reveal yourself to us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, the first thing I want to see here today is being blessed to the extent of your faith. Again, this is awesome. I love this passage of Scripture. This woman was about ready to lose both of her sons into slavery. And again, she was the point. She was willing to do whatever God called her to do. And you know what? I think that's a good place for us to be, is getting to a point where we're ready to do whatever God calls us to be or calls us to do. I'm ready to do that. And I love how God works when we follow His instructions. Look at what God does for this woman. Elijah goes and tells her to go get a bunch of jars from her neighbors. And she goes and she gets a bunch of jars, and that little oil that she collected or that she had turned into a lot and filled up many, many jars. You know, I think there is a great truth that we need to see here this morning. And that is, have faith in the Word of God even when it doesn't seem logical to you. Even when it doesn't seem logical to you, have faith in the Word of God, because we know the Word is true. Even though I can't see it, I know it is true. Verse 3, Elijah says, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few." So God says through His prophet, through the man of God, He says, don't just ask for a few. So a translation of that would be, ask for a lot of jars. Go ask for a lot of jars. You know, this widow's faith could be measured by how many jars she's willing to ask her neighbors for. You know, did she believe that the Lord was really, truly going to come through for her? Did she plant the field when it was dry, knowing that there would still be a harvest when the Lord told her to do that? Would the Lord fill up all of her jars that she collected? She could have thought, you know what, man, all I have is this little bit of oil. I'm just going to ask 3 or 4 jars, and that's going to be a plenty enough. I'll be, man, if you can fill that would be amazing. Well, let me ask you a serious question here today. The question is, do you think that there was a chance? Is there a chance that she could have collected too many jars? Is there any way she would have collected too many jars and after, you know, she would have ended up with 2 or 3 empty jars, because, man, God would have been like, I didn't think you were going to go this much. I can't fill all of those things. No. There's no way it's possible that she was going to get too many jars. To me, this passage makes it very clear that, you know what, no matter how many jars you get, he was going to fill. You know, if you get 3 jars, you're going to have enough to fill 3 jars. If you get 10 jars, you're going to have enough to fill 10 jars. If you get 25 jars, you're going to have enough to fill 25 jars. You know, Elijah didn't command her, say, go collect 20 jars. He just said, go get a bunch. And it was up to her to get as many jars that she wanted, whether 4 or 24. Did she have faith to go out and get 24 jars, 50 jars? We don't know. But she got a bunch of jars. And I love this. As she was pouring the oil, again, just a little bit of oil, as she started pouring it, all of a sudden the first vessel was filled up. Oh, give me another one. Second one filled up. Third one filled up. Sixth one. Ninth one. 10th one. Bring me another one. We don't have any more. We don't have any more. Oh my, could you imagine that? I bet they were looking for things. Dump out that trash can. Let's put some oil in there. Dump that out over there. That flower pot. Let's put oil in there. You know, at that point they were probably, oh man, I wish we'd even asked for more. The vessels were running out. They were running out of vessels. The empty pots were all full, and the oil was still full of the source. I love that. The oil was still full of the source. They could have filled more up. I love this, because you know what? You can't empty God's blessings, pot of blessings in your life. You can't empty that. His source is never ending. As long, and you can hear this, as long as you have room to receive it, His blessings, His goodness is coming after us. It's running after us. He can fill it. The source is never ending. So your ability to handle it And to hold it is the only limiting factor to God. Because God says, I can pour so much in there. I can keep pouring. But the vessel's full. We don't have enough room. You know, when faith asks no more, God gives no more. When faith asks no more, God gives no more. Malachi 3:10 says this. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Do you hear that? I am going to pour out so much blessing upon you that you're not going to have enough room for it. It's not that God doesn't have enough blessing. It's just that we limit that because we don't have enough room for it. We don't act in obedience enough to have room for all the blessings that He wants to pour in our life. Our vessels can be too full with other things that they can't hold the blessings that God wants to give, the oil that God wants to give. Remember, when all the vessels had been filled, that's when the oil stopped flowing. When your vessel is full, when your vessel is full of the world and the things of this temporary world that we live in, the oil of God stops flowing. Because you're full. When the vessel's full, it stops flowing. And so we need to open up and say, God, continue to pour out your oil into my life. You know, when this widow was asked what she had, this widow really, in verse 2, this widow says, your servant has nothing. Well, I guess except a little oil. You know, I don't have anything except a little oil. What good is that going to do? I have nothing. But God takes what she had and her willingness to be obedient to what He said, and He expands that oil to meet her needs. God provided enough oil to pay off all her debts so her sons would not go into slavery. You know what? God is a God of plenty. You guys know that here today. God is a God of plenty. His resources, praise God, are abundant. There's not a limit to that. Sometimes we limit God because we limit Him by bringing a small amount of jars. We don't bring more to Him. You know, this passage also reminds me of in the New Testament when the disciples were, they had this big crowd around them. Jesus fed the 5,000, and it's 5,000 men. There would have been women and children there, so it's probably 15, 20,000 people there that day, you know, and God fed them with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. The disciples had, I have no idea how this is going to happen. This is all we have, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus took that and He expanded that and they fed everybody. And they said they had all that they wanted. And it said they had some left over. And we see Matthew 14:20. We see it says, they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. You know, I probably mentioned this to you before, probably when I preached on this passage, but I'm like, I wonder why there was 12 basketfuls of bread left over. Isn't God a mighty God, all-knowing God, that He couldn't cater this meal enough for just the exact amount of people? Did He just misquote and make sure He had enough? No, God knew, but there's 12 basketfuls left over because there's 12 disciples, each disciple carrying a basket, and each disciple looking and saying, you know what, I got more in my hands than what we even started with. Well, I serve a God of plenty. I serve a God who can bless. So an everyday story of what I'm talking about here, God providing the oil, and again, we don't serve a God who lacks resources. He doesn't lack resources. The disciples had more than enough to feed the multitude. The widow had more than enough to cover her debts. And we have more than enough in our lives as well when we turn to the Lord. God can take what we have and multiply it greatly. But there is a condition for that. There has to be faith to give him what we got. What we have, we got to place it all into his hands. You know, this widow could have just kept it all. Got to place it into his hands. Often, our little faith keeps us from the full potential of what God has for us. You know what? God wants to grow us in faith. He desires to grow us in our faith. But we're often caught up in the rut and become satisfied with the level of faith that we're at right now. Now, you know, I've said this many, many times, I know, but I don't care if you've been a Christian for 50 years or 2 weeks, God wants to grow you even more. He wants to grow your trust even more deeply in Him. You know, our faith is small because we have small boundaries on what we think God can do in our lives. You know what? Our faith is small because we have small boundaries to what we think God can do in our lives. You know, I can't tithe. I don't make as much money. I'm not smart enough to be able to teach a Bible study or Sunday school. I'm not good enough speaker to do anything on church on Sunday morning. Many of us have a small faith because we're looking at the little oil that we have instead of the abundance of what God wants to give us. We need to focus on the abundance that God wants to give us and not on the little bit of oil that we have. To receive the abundance, we need to believe in faith that God will be true to His Word and do what He says He'll do as we respond in faith. If we would step out of our box that restricts our faith, we would see God's power at work in our lives. Let me just tell you one thing. What a shame it would have been if the disciples would have only fed about 10 or 20 people instead of the great multitude that day. What a shame it would have been if the widow only got 2 vessels full of oil instead of enough to pay off all her debt. What a shame it would be if God wants to do an amazing work in our lives and pour blessing out on our lives, but we just don't have room for it. We just don't have room for it because we're too full of the things of this world. Plainly put, let me put this plainly, we don't have enough faith to bring more jars to Him. We don't have enough faith. Do we have enough faith to bring more jars to Him? Ephesians 3:20. Again, what a powerful verse here. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. He's even be able to do immeasurably more. That's what He did for this widow. He did immeasurably more. And she was able to save her sons from slavery and to live on what was left. Do you know that God can bless you abundantly? Do you know that? Well, second thing will kind of give us the reason for that. The second thing is obedience to His Word makes the difference. Obedience to His Word makes the difference. Now, I'll just give you the front here, right at the front here, is if she wouldn't have done what God said, she wouldn't have all that oil. All right? So that's what it's all about, obedience and what He says. What brought about the great miracle that she was seeing here was being obedient to what God told her to do. And if we're not being obedient to what God tells us to do, can I expect my oil to expand and continue to go? I can't, because I didn't do what He told me to do. Verse 1. The wife of the man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my 2 boys as his slave." You know, so again, this woman turns to Elijah during this time. Elijah is the prophet of God. So basically, she is turning to God in her problem. And that is the first step. How often do we turn to somebody else? We turn to the banker, the psychiatrist. We turn to who knows who we turn to, but we turn to everybody but to God. We turn to a politician instead of seeking God for answer. You know what? We are called to place our burdens before our Lord. Cry out to Him in prayer. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. From the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That's where my help comes from. If I've got a problem, I got a Lord who wants to listen and a Lord who's powerful enough to act. This woman in this passage could have given up on God. She could have given up on God in this passage because you know what? What has God done for me? Look at this woman. My husband was one of the prophets in the company, and he's dead. You took my husband. He was a source of income. You took my husband. He's dead. And now, not only that, now you haven't been taking care of me because now we got debts. We can't pay our bills, and now my sons are going to be sold into slavery. God, what have you done for me lately? I'm done. She could have easily turned away. My husband spent his life for you in service to you, and this is what we get. Most people, at the first sign of trouble, they can run away from God. They don't cling to their faith very long to see how God is going to answer their situation. This woman could have easily gathered around friends around and said, poor you, yeah, turn from God, give you worldly answers. But instead, she turned to God. And not only did she turn to God, but what happens next? She did what God said. That's what a lot of people don't do. She turned to God, then she did what God told her to do. Even though this was seemingly a weird request, I have no logic on how this is going to work. How is my little thing of oil going to fill up 16, 20, 30 things of oil? I have no logic to figure out how that's going to happen. But as weird as it is, God, you told me to do it. I'm going to go and do it. And she was blessed by that. So you know what? Through God's word, we receive instructions. And you know what? It may seem weird to us. What do you mean tithing? My goodness, I'm giving up money. What do you mean? What do you mean forgiving people? I'm supposed to let them go? No, you're supposed to let your bitterness go. What do you mean about not loving the world? You know, it doesn't make sense to us a lot of times. But God has plans. God had no plans to perform the miracle if she never got the jars. God did not plan on doing this miracle if she didn't get the jars. It rested upon her to go into faith and to go collect the jars. Obedience, that's huge here. Obedience opened the door for this miracle of God to happen. And often we're like, I just want to see a miracle, but I don't want to obey. I just want to see the miracle. Obedience opened the door for this miracle to happen. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, God, this makes no sense to me whatsoever. How can I go get more jars when I don't got oil to put in these jars? You know, can't you just track with her logic here? Logically, it makes no sense. You're right. In the natural mind, it makes no sense. But you leave out one key ingredient. God. God is a key ingredient here. You know what? You can continue with your little oil doing what you think is logical. But as for me, I'm going to take my little oil and I'm going to place it in God's hands. And I'm going to do what He tells me to do. That's what I'm going to do. But you notice Elisha and how he approaches this miracle. At first glance, it doesn't seem that Elisha seems to care very much. You know, we don't see Elisha here writing out a check to this woman and say, okay, go pay it off. Elisha didn't do that. Elisha didn't sit there and wave a wand over her and say, okay, you're going to have enough money. Poof, there's the money. He didn't do that either. Elisha called the widow to be a part of this process, to put her faith into action in this process. This is faith in action. If you believe this is the word of God, you must act in obedience to claim this miracle that you want. God wants us to experience His miracles in our lives, but God wants us to do our part of faith, put our faith in Him. We must exercise our faith. So listen to this. Performing the miracle is no problem for God. You understand that? Performing this miracle is no problem for God. But he wants man to put themselves out there in obedience to show their trust in God, that God can provide for what he says he will provide. Romans 4, 20 and 21 says, "Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised." You hear that? He was strengthened in his faith, and he knew that God had power to do what he had promised. I need to be strengthened in my faith. I need to remember that God has power to do what he has promised. Do we have that unwavering faith that God can do what he says, even when my logical mind cannot wrap around, how is this oil going to expand? How is this bread and fish going to expand? I just trust. God told me. God told me. I can trust his word. The important key to blessings is obedience. She did not linger behind with the wonder if the instructions were true. She just obeyed. And I love it. When she shuts the door to pour out oil into this empty pots, God stepped in. God stepped in like he said he would. We need God to step in to our lives. Can I tell you again, God doesn't lack provisions. He doesn't lack. He is a God of abundance, and we need to hear that today. Through it, God was exercising this woman's faith. God was using this terrible time to exercise this woman's faith. When the oil kept flowing, as Elisha said it would, this woman and her two sons would not only have head knowledge now, because again, a lot of people have a lot of head knowledge about God. Not only would this woman and her two sons have head knowledge about God and his power, but all of a sudden they just experienced him, and they're going to be, oh my goodness, you know what God did for me. I saw it. That's going to change your life. When God comes in and does something, you see that, it's going to change your life. Can you imagine other Bible characters like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, going into the blazing furnace, this fiery furnace? Do you think their lives changed? You better believe it did. I can count on God. This is what God did for me. I can count on him in the future. So sometimes we go through difficult times and we see what God can do for us. Hey, he came through. I know he can come through again. Here's a little paragraph. It says, "By faith, the saints in the Bible trusted in the God of miracles." So by faith, they trusted in this God of miracles. By faith, they believed in something that was not there, that in time it would be there. It's not there, but in time it would be there. And by faith, they counted on and expected a miracle. And finally, and by faith, they looked at what was not, believed that it was, until it was. I love that part. It says, by faith, they looked at what was not and believed that it was until it was. I believe it was until it was. Yeah, I love that. By faith, a deep-rooted faith. When I have a deep-rooted faith, that causes me to live in obedience. And when I don't live in obedience, I'm not living in faith. So again, if you want the door of blessings of God to come into your life, it's got to be through obedience. God's not going to bless the disobedient. Well, let's look at the application for today. Application for today: receive the miracle that God has for you. Receive the miracle that God has for you. You know what? There's a miracle for all of us. We too, like the widow, we have a creditor after us. And that creditor is Satan. And he wants us to put us into slavery because we can't pay our debts. We can't pay our debts to sin. But you know what? God provided enough for us all to be free from our slavery. He provided enough. He provided enough for me to be rescued from the dominion of darkness. He provided enough for you to be rescued. He provided enough for the whole world to be rescued from the dominion of darkness. We have a God of plenty. You know, again, can you imagine how the widow looked with her little bit of oil, and it just kept pouring and kept pouring and kept pouring. I'm sure she's like, I cannot understand how this is working. I cannot understand it. But you know what? I'm going to receive this blessing. I'm going to receive this blessing. You know what? In the same way, we may not know about the cross. We may not know about how can the blood of Jesus continually be poured out upon us. Billions and billions of people from the beginning, for centuries, people being saved for centuries, and there's still enough blood for it to be sufficient for me. There may be some people, and really we can't completely understand that, but you know what? God has enough for us. He has enough. He can pour out abundantly upon us. In this miracle, the oil flowed into the vessels until they were full. It didn't matter what size they were. Whether it was a small vessel, there was enough to fill it. Whether it was a large vessel, there was enough to fill it. Now let me tell you, when it's about us coming to Christ, maybe some of us have had a really rough past and we've done some lot of things and we've done some horrible things. We had a terrible past. How can God forgive me? There's enough oil to fill that. There's enough blood of Jesus that can cover that. Maybe you didn't do as bad. You still need the oil. You still need to be covered. You still need to be filled. So again, there's many people out today that they're like, I just did too much. I did too much. 1 Timothy 1:15 says this. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. You know, the worst of sinners can be filled with God's grace. But you know what? It's only to the empty vessels. If you're a full vessel, He's not going to pour His grace into you. It's got to be an empty vessel. And God can fill us. Just like I said earlier, do you think that there was any chance that the oil was going to run dry in an empty vessel that God couldn't fill it earlier? It's the same way here. If you come with your empty vessel and say, I surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, you think He's going to run dry? I used up all my forgiveness on the last guy. No, not at all. He's got enough for all. He's got enough for all of us. Oil in the Bible symbolizes the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, God wants and God desires to pour out His Holy Spirit and fill us without limit. Without limit, He wants to give His Holy Spirit. But again, what's the problem? We don't have the empty vessels. We don't have the empty vessels. We're too full of other things that we don't trust Him to fill us. Ephesians 5:18 says this, do not get drunk on wine, so it's part of the world, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. God's command is to be filled with the Spirit. He wants to do that filling. This widow, I love this part of the story. This widow went into the house and commanded to close the door. Close the door. And when she closed the door, the oil started to flow. When they got into the inner place of the house, the oil started to flow. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 6:6. It says here, Matthew 6:6, it says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. You know, that's what we're called to do. But let the oil flow. Let the Holy Spirit flow that we can get into the inner room, close the door, the quietness of prayer, and let the oil flow. Let the Holy Spirit come down. Just to come down and say, you know, I'm bringing my empty vessel, God. I'm bringing my empty vessel. And you said if I bring my empty vessel, God, this is your word. You say if I bring my empty vessel, you're going to fill it. So I'm counting on you at your word that you're going to fill me. You know, I want to finish today by saying God is always at work around you. But you know what? Sometimes we don't see it. We just don't see God working around us because we got our eyes focused on other things. We got our eyes focused on the things of the world. We're too busy to see God is at work around us. But God is at work. Maybe it's not evident to you, but God is at work. I love it here, again, this passage. What were they commanded to do? They were commanded to close the door and go in and do this. So this wasn't done out in a public where people were oohing and aahing. Look, another one, yay! Look, another one, yay! This was done in the privacy of that. So probably to many people, I don't know how many people, whether it's thousands or whatever in that town or wherever it was, that many people did not see that and did not recognize that miracle took place that day. But if their people were looking, all of a sudden they could see that a miracle did take place, because all of a sudden those sons were not in slavery anymore. So do we have eyes to see that God is performing miracles? Because we can see it if our eyes are looking for that. So I challenge you to stop many times throughout this week and give some serious thought to, man, where is God at work? Where did I just see God move that I wouldn't have saw it if I wouldn't have paid more careful attention? And I challenge us today. Today, again, we got these shoe boxes out there. Empty jars. And now that we're doing this ministry for this month, maybe here's some empty jars. Maybe you're called to go and take and fill some of these empty jars. Go and fill it. And let me tell you what, I believe God can bless abundantly through empty jars, that He can fill them. And I believe that there's going to be many people in the kingdom of heaven because of these shoeboxes. And don't you want to be a part of that? So again, for some it's a faith. It's a faith for me to take one. Maybe some I'm going to have faith to get three. Maybe some it's going to be faith four or five. I don't know what it is, but I challenge you to think that, you know what, God can abundantly bless. I think He'll bless you by doing this, but I think He's going to bless so many people who receive that. So I challenge you to think about how many empty jars you can take home with you today. So at this time, I'm going to ask the praise team to come forward and lead us in our closing song. And our closing song is Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And I tell you what, that is all this woman had to rest upon, was the everlasting arms of Jesus. She didn't have anything else that she could depend upon, but she could depend upon Jesus. And maybe we need to be to that spot where we need to be desperate that all we have is Jesus, so we can depend upon Jesus to do that. But today, if you are in a difficult situation and you need God to work in your life and you want to come to the altar and say, God, I'm coming to You. I'm broken. I'm bringing You my empty vessel. Please fill me. Do that. Maybe you're coming today that you've already seen that and you just recognize today. I mean, God is overwhelming you today that you've seen the oil being poured out over and over and over and over again in your life. So you're not coming here to say, God, I need Your oil. You're coming up here to say, God, thank You for pouring that oil in the jars that I brought You. If that's you, you can come and give thanks today. But you know what? We're all coming, and we all need to lean upon the everlasting arms of Jesus. Let's stand together and let's sing this song.